When you go outside to enjoy some time in the sun, are you remembering to apply your sunscreen? What about eye protection? The sun's UV rays can be harmful to your eyes. And my next guest says choosing prescription eyewear that protects against the sun is extremely important. Jim LaLuzerne joins us now. He's former CEO of 5 different optic-related companies, president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, an inductee into the Optical Hall of Fame, and taking your questions about handling and caring for prescription eyewear at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Jim LaLuzerne, welcome back. Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Hello, Larry. I'm very happy to be back. I missed you last time, but here we are, so ready to go.
All right. Sounds good to me. And as we do head outdoors to enjoy the sun, I think many of us remember to wear sunscreen. What about protecting our eyes, though?
Well, Larry, I heard your introduction shortly before the break about forgetting your hat, and I think that's really an excellent point that people should remember. If you wear sunglasses, which most people, if they're on a golf course and a bright day, are going to need, when you wear sunglasses, of course, you get a dark lens in front of your eye, and what happens to your pupil? Well, if you're out in the bright sun, your pupil gets pretty small. You put sunglasses on, there's not so much light. It now gets bigger to compensate for the amount of light you've lost. And if you've got light coming in around the side or over the top, you are particularly bothered by sun. And that's why a hat in combination with prescription eyeglasses is a very smart thing to do and sometimes a very necessary thing. So people think they put sunglasses on, they're protecting their eye. Well, indeed they are to a great extent, but you have to remember to get side and top protection as well. Wear your hat with your sunglasses when you're outside.
There you go. Well, eye protection, that I would certainly weigh into your decision when you're picking prescription glasses or sunglasses.
Well, certainly. And let me give a brief overview on what kind of protection you get with just a regular pair of prescription eyeglasses, because believe it or not, clear lenses, the vast majority of clear lenses today absorb all the ultraviolet that's out there. They're made with ultraviolet inhibitors, and they will take what's considered ultraviolet light and get rid of it. So a regular pair of glasses do a lot of good in stopping the ultraviolet. They don't stop visible light, and that's what makes us squint and be overwhelmed by a bright day. And that's where a tint, something that's observable on the lens, a dark color lens, is needed to absorb some of that light that we don't want. So as far as protection from UV, any lens, I shouldn't say any, the vast majority of lenses take care of that. A regular pair of sunglasses that people would normally wear and say, those are sunglasses, absorbs about 80% of the visible light that's out there. And that's kind of a general rule for sunglasses. Now, you can get them that absorb more than that, and sometimes people that go into, let's say, a mountainous area where they're at high altitude or there's bright snow or something like that might get a pair that only transmits 10% of the light or, the converse, absorbs 90% of the light. So there are some options that you can have. And if you're getting plain old sunglasses, that's sunglasses without a prescription, just about every store out there has got a rack of sunglasses that have everything from soup to nuts. They will all absorb the ultraviolet. Now, what you need beyond that is, some people wear them for cosmetic reasons, brightness reasons. Some of the frames do a very good job of wrapping around the sides and the top to a certain extent to protect light from the side if you're not wearing a hat or in addition to a hat. But if you're getting prescription sunglasses, You've got, because they're being custom made, you can get virtually any color lens that you want, any amount of darkness. One of the things that used to be quite popular was gradient tinted lenses. And gradient lenses are ones that are very dark on the top, and then they get lighter and lighter toward the bottom. And people, yeah, you mentioned golfing, they were very popular from people golfing because if you're going to look at your scorecard, you want a little more light,
yep.
And your eyes drop down into the bottom, and it's lighter in that area, but it protects from above. So gradient lenses are, to a certain extent, kind of been forgotten lately, but it's still available.
Yeah.
And if you talk to your place where you get your eyeglasses, they usually have a color card with every color that you can imagine, green, red, blue, white. I shouldn't say white. White would be no color, right?
Well, you know, I, as a, someone who used to shoot a lot of trap and skeet competitively, my dad was a state champion, actually, always wore yellow sunglasses, which made things brighter and better able to see the clay birds that came out. And I often wondered about that in terms of protection, but I assume the protection is there. It's just that...
Yeah, sure, they protect ultraviolet. They do make it brighter. The purpose of yellow lenses is to improve the contrast that you see when you wear them. And particularly with the color of the trap that you're shooting or the clay pigeons that you're shooting, it makes them stand out against the sky better. Sky kind of a bluish color, and
yep.
It makes them more distinct. And so a lot of people like them for that reason. There's, I think it's called a vermilion tint that has been used in addition to that. You probably had the yellow,
yep.
Kind of a pinkish, reddish thing called vermilion that they've got. So those are used as well. And their purpose is to improve contrast. Any lens that has any color at all will reduce the total amount of light, and therefore, you know, some people say, well, I like to wear yellow ones for night driving. Oh, that's not such a good idea because although you may be improving your contrast, you're also reducing the amount of light that your eye gets, and many people need every bit they can get.
Yep.
Larry, that brings up something that's kind of, I get asked a lot, is about blue blockers.
Yes.
Because people hear those ads all the time on TV, and they say, is that hocus pocus? Is that real? And there is something to it. But that does a similar kind of a thing to what those yellow lenses have. And what the blue blockers do is they block a range of the visible light. I don't want to get too technical, but visible light starts at 380 nanometers, and most blue blockers block everything from 380 in the visible spectrum up to maybe 400 or 450, the blue end of the visible spectrum.
Yep.
And in that range, especially if it's very intense, there is even though it's visible, technically visible light, it's not ultraviolet, it's in the visible light range, even though it's in that, there is some evidence that that light can damage the eye in intense amounts. And it also, and those lenses also improve contrast, similar to your shooting glasses. So if people want that, I say, hey, great, go for it. There is some evidence that it could help, and they're cool. You know, and people want cool.
Sure.
I think one of the most important things people say is, well, all of that's fine, but do I look cool? Well, you can get both if you want.
Joan in Mishicot has a question. Joan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Recently, lens implants, one monovision, and I'm having trouble with my distance. My eye doctor has recommended glasses for driving, which are very great, but I find it difficult during the day when I look in a distance, you know, I'm just around the house. Is there some other solution for my problem?
Now, you had cataract surgery and had implants. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, monovision, yes.
Okay. And so one eye is being corrected. If you're using monovision, one eye is corrected for distance and one eye is corrected for near. Is that correct?
Yes.
People have been doing that for many years with contact lenses, and some people are very happy with that, but it is a compromise because one eye sees clearly in the distance and the other eye sees clearly up near, and then your mind has to kind of pick between the two to see which is which. Mm-hmm. And the difficulty is that if you're going to see in three dimensions, you should see both things clear, you know, in the distance and up near. So while some people have chosen to do that with contact lenses, and people ask me, is it worth the try? I say, sure, because if it doesn't work, you just stop using it. You just stop using the contact lenses. If you're doing it for intraocular implants, once those implants are put in, it's very unlikely that they would ever be taken out.
Oh,
and
okay.
So if people have, you know, have that and they're not real comfortable with it, the solution is basically to get a pair of glasses that compensates for the difference in the vision for both eyes all the time. And, you know, it can be fixed through wearing glasses, but some people say, why did I do this if I have to wear glasses? So from a personal standpoint, I have a real problem with any, either monovision, or they also make some intraocular implants that are supposed to be like a progressive lens where you can, not for both eyes are the same, but you can see in the distance through part of the lens and then near in another part, and your brain is supposed to kind of figure that out. Mm-hmm. And again, that makes me nervous. I like the idea of a lens in there that most of the time is prescription is set for the distance, so you can see great in the distance with both eyes. And then if you have to read, then you can put on reading glasses, or you could wear like a progressive lens all the time that was no power in the top and then reading in the bottom. And then you've got eyes working together the way they were designed to be.
Okay, thank you
all
very
right.
much.
Yeah, thanks. Very good description there from Jim LaLuzerne. Jim is going to be with us up until 12:30 today, so really looking forward to having him along here, and certainly looking forward to hearing what you have for questions about your eyewear. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org. And I wouldn't mind if you posted on my Facebook page. Go to The Larry Mueller Show, a Facebook page. That's the title of the page, The Larry Mueller Show. And click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you're one of the millions of people who wear prescription eyeglasses like I do, you might be wondering how to get the best value and the longest lasting style. Jim LaLuzerne, my guest, is here to help you with that and to answer your questions about other questions about prescription eyewear. He's former CEO of many optic related companies, president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, and inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. You can call in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, email us at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. And, Jim, we've got Helen in Marshfield with a question for you, so let's go to her next. Hi, Helen.
Hello. I have a question. I had cataracts, and I've had lens implants. And because of some retinal problems, I've lost some vision. Can I go back to wearing contacts with these implants?
Well, some people can. That it's not to say you can't. I don't know the whole extent of your other visual problems and what happened, but there are many people that wear contact lenses in addition to the implants that they have. And so, you know, right off the bat, I don't see any reason why you couldn't, but you really need to check with your doctor because sometimes there's other issues that are involved.
Yeah.
I see. Thank you for that answer.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Yeah. Chris in Heartland, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Yes, hi, Jim. Say, Jim, I've got blue eyes. They're fairly sensitive to light, and I'm a pilot, so I'm flying at altitude quite often, you know, between 10 and 20,000 feet. Also a soaring pilot that, you know, it keeps me basically airborne on a blue sky day, doing lots of circles, so lots of exposure there. Then during the winter time, I'm out west, basically skiing, you know, with a lot of exposure from the reflection of the sun and blue sky days once again. And it seems like for the pilot part of my eyewear, I've got something dark enough that seems to help out, but I also need to read the instruments, and it gets a little bit difficult when it's dark like that. And then for the winter time with the snow reflection, I've been using something that basically like a glacier goggle that has size shields, but I still get, it almost feels like my eyes get grainy at the end of the day, almost like some snow blindness. And I was wondering what you might be able to recommend there.
Well, that's interesting. That goes back to what I said a little earlier about the blue blockers and some of the needs of people, especially at, I mentioned that at altitude, which of course you are when you're piloting a plane, and skiing with a lot of snow. So I think you're on the right track. I do know one of the companies that I was involved with years ago did a lot of industrial safety eyewear, and there were a lot of applications, and they're special glasses that are made for example people that are around molten steel or various metals or welding, glass blowers, things like that. So there's a lot of specialty lenses that are made for absorbing, you know, just about every frequency of light that you can imagine. Now, and there is, you could investigate some of those, and a lot of those are in like a wraparound goggle. They're made as safety glasses or safety goggles, but in addition, they have this ability to absorb or in some cases reflect the light. They have a mirror coating which might reflect some of those frequencies. So that is a possibility, and you might want to look into that. In terms, you mentioned that you want a dark enough lens when you're flying, but you've got to be able to see the instruments, and if you get one too dark. I also mentioned earlier about the concept of a gradient tint, and you could have a pair made up either plano or in prescription that would be really dark on the top and then faded down toward the bottom, where the bottom would be clear or much lighter. And then when you're in the plane, you keep your head tipped down just a little bit so that you're using the darker upper portion to look outside. And then when you're looking at instruments, you look in the lower part of the lens, which is clearer, and you can do that. So when I mentioned the gradient tints earlier, I've done over the years many similar applications where somebody had a really strong need but still needed to be able to see. And if you get a really big lens, one that's really deep, you know, comes down on your face, you can make that lower part virtually clear to see what you need. So a couple ideas for you.
Yeah, there's good advice. Thank you, Chris, for calling. We had Mike on Facebook with a question for you, Jim. He says, I'm moving to Greenland to start a new job next week and was wondering what type of lenses would work best for a sun low in the horizon reflecting off the ice and snow. And then he says the Inuit slotted goggles come to mind.
Well, the slotted goggles were a way to, as people don't know what that is, the Inuit people many, many generations ago would take maybe a piece of walrus tusk or something like that and shape out a curved shape thing to cover their eyes, and then they would put a real tiny slit in it in front of their eyes that was their homemade sunglasses. And that cut a tremendous amount of the light from doing it, and they looked through this small slit. And actually, I've tried on a pair of, not real ones, but one simulated ones, and they actually worked pretty good. that does not alter the frequency of the light coming through that slit. So you can still get snow blindness from that. Helps, but not as good as a sunwear would be. Going back to some of the other things we said, a very strong tint, being very careful to think about light coming in above on the top and on the sides. Our pilot mentioned a few minutes ago about some goggles that, and I think that some of those goggles that they made for pilots have, and you've seen maybe some mountain climbers in some movies or whatever they were, where it has like a cup that covers the eye so none of the light can come in around the side, just in the just where you're looking.
Mm-hmm.
You get a very, very dark tint in there. Back in World War II, my father was involved with the Army Air Transport Command, and he had some goggles that they had from back then that were actually two polarized lenses in a goggle. It was completely sealed all the way around except where you looked forward, and you could rotate one polarized lens against the other and literally go to nothing. You could turn them off completely if you chose to, but you could rotate it back to the point that you got enough light to do what you needed to do. I don't know if those are available today, but there's a lot of options that I think you could find that would do a good job for it.
For sure. Marilyn and Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
And thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the help. I have an old pair of glasses that have worked beautifully. I have a very strong prescription, and I'm wondering if those these old glasses are the large lenses. And I'm wondering if the new lenses that are kind of narrow would be able to give me a good trifocal prescription.
Well, there's literally thousands of different frames today, and there are some that are very deep. They call that vertical measurement, the B measurement on a frame, and they have a very large B measurement. So there are some available, and you might have to look around. I recently was looking for glasses, and I saw almost all are very narrow, and I agree with you that that becomes a problem today. But there's still some deep ones out. Also, and a lot of people don't realize this, if it's a rimless frame, like the glasses that I wear are rimless. It's a, you know, there's no frame around the lens. They're screwed onto the face. When they make those, they can actually make that lens deeper because the doctor, you could pick the frame out and you say, that's not deep enough for my trifocal or my progressive. And the doctor can request the laboratory to actually make a different shape in there that would come down deeper. In my own glasses, I have them about 4 millimeters deeper than the one that was on the shelf, because I knew what to ask for, and they measure the glasses up, and they just ask the lab to make them deeper so that you've got more lens down lower, and most optical dispensaries would know what I'm talking about and explain to them that what you're looking for, and they can do that. So first of all, you could probably find a frame, but if you can't and you find one and you would pick a rimless one, tell them to make the lens deeper, and they can accommodate that.
That sounds
okay,
good.
Okay, so I would just request a rimless arrangement.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you tell them what you're looking for, again, most places can help you with that, and most places, you know, that I know are trying to help their patients do a good job. But if somebody didn't know about it or didn't think about getting a deeper, you know, make it deeper from at the lab, you could tell them that, and they'd say, hey, that's a good idea, and away you go.
And thanks a lot for calling, Marilyn. Appreciate your call. I want to give Gary and Appleton a chance to chime in here. Gary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I have a question when it comes time, and it probably happens sooner, for cataract replacement and have a lens input. And I'm trying to figure out the kind of implants I want, far, near, or intermediate, that'll work best with the glasses and to be able to see my reading materials and, you know, find work.
Well, I'll review the options that you have when you do that. For the moment, I'm not talking about using monovision like one of the previous callers had, or using the progressive interactive. I'm talking about a spherical lens replacement. And because your lens at that point has no ability to accommodate, whatever lens they put in there is fixed for a very specific distance. And what they do is before you have the surgery, they have a device. It's a laser-based device that determines the exact power of the lens that they're going to put in to replace the one they took out. And today, the technology allows them to do that pretty accurately. So they can say, we're going to fix this so that you can see very well in the distance driving a car. And we can do that in both eyes. And most of the time, when you're done and it settles down, you end up with pretty close to 20/20 vision for the distance. Now, they can't always do it because the human eye is variable and their technology can't figure out everything, but usually they're pretty close. So you could drive a car without glasses. Now, if you do that, now you're going to read. You have no ability to accommodate reading, and you have to have something to help you read. It could be inexpensive reading glasses that you can buy at the supermarket, and many times that's a good solution. Or it could be a pair of prescription reading glasses or prescription multifocal, like a progressive lens. And one of the things that I recommended to most of my friends that have been in that situation is to get a prescription progressive lens that would have little or no power in the distance. You would have the full amount for reading very clear. But the beauty of a progressive is you've got everything in between. So if something is just beyond arm's reach, you can find that spot with the progressive lens and see it clearly. Now, that being said, that would be what I will do when the time comes right for me. But there is other options. And some people say, look, I want to be able to see and read in the house. And if I go out in a car, I'll put glasses on for a distance vision. I don't want them to read. I want them to be able to see fine. So if I want to watch TV or I want to drive my car, I'll put glasses on. But otherwise, I want to be able to read. Well, the doctor can do that as well. He can put the lens in your eye so that you can see very well for reading. And then when you want to see in the distance, you've got to put glasses on. And again, you could have a multifocal or a progressive to do that. But in that case, there's still the issue at intermediate. You're reading fine. Intermediate is out of focus, and distance is out of focus. So a third option is, and some people choose this, they say, give me the intermediate, and I'll wear glasses if I want to read, and I'll wear glasses if I want to see the distance. The most common choice is accurate, sharp vision for distance. And the best eyeglass solution, in my opinion, then, is a very good quality progressive lens that is no power in the distance or very minor power because sometimes they're not exact in the distance. And then the ability to have that progression, to have intermediate and then reading. And the people that have had that solution tell me that they see better than they've ever seen in their life.
There you go, Gary. I've had that surgery, the lens replacement as well, and that's what I chose. One of the problems I've had, and another of my friends has had this problem too, is that I still have, even though it's been a year, I get some swelling in the eye. And so at times, parts times of the day, it's like looking through almost wax paper. I don't know if you've ever heard of that circumstance, Jim, but it turns out that a friend of mine had the surgery too and wound up with the same thing. Now, apparently it can be corrected, but it first has to get bad enough. And mine, they say, isn't bad enough to do the work.
There is a membrane that lens goes into, And my father's had an experience where he had to have that membrane removed after the fact, and his was worse when he had bright light. You say in that mid-afternoon or midday, bright light seemed to cause a problem on that membrane. But if it's some kind of swelling, that doesn't sound like something from a normal cataract surgery. So I'm kind of at a loss here, Larry, answer that better. You've got a good doctor on there, I would take his judgment much more than mine over the phone. So.
Yeah, I just wondered if you'd heard about it. I mean, it's something we'll be dealing with, and you know, it's not the end of the world, but it's irritable, or it's irritating, I guess is what I should say.
Yeah, I can't really think of what that might be, unless it's that membrane that is clouding up or somehow is affected.
Paul in West Bend has a question for you. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good afternoon. The question is, you indicated that on your clear lenses, whether it's a polycarbonate or a glass lens, that reflects off the A and B ultraviolet. Is that a coating on the outside surface of the lens, or is that a compound that's infused right into the glass or the plastic? And the other question was, if you could talk a little bit about a polarization, because if I can't use a polarized eyeglass or sunglasses when flying, because it really cuts the glare down, which the computer screen, the glass panel, you have to take your sunglasses off to read the instrument.
Sure. Yeah, that's a very good point, and I think that people should be told about that. First, you ask whether the absorption of the lens material absorbs the UV or whether it's a coating. Polycarbonate, which is the most common lens material today, the polycarbonate lens material has UV absorbers in it. So the material itself absorbs the UV. It's not the coating that absorbs it. There is a coating on polycarbonate, which is an anti-scratch coating, but the UV is absorbed by the material itself. There has been some concerns about coatings that people put on, because if it gets scratched, of course, you're losing that protection. Regular plastic lenses many years ago were, we had a dye, actually, that was a UV dye. And we would take the plastic lens and soak it in this dye that actually went into the surface of the lens. And that absorbed, and I believe some of those are still available. But if somebody was concerned about UV, they would probably be given a polycarbonate. Now, in addition to that, there are some coatings that could be put on to augment that and make it even more so. But it's in the material itself. Regarding polarized lenses, it's always been difficult for me to explain how they work, but I guess the best, and I can't honestly say that I've never ever talked to anybody that really fully understands what goes on, but in a sense, the lens is kind of like blinds, window blinds, that are, you're looking at the edge of the blind. And that light that is reflected off of a flat surface, like off of a lake, hits those blinds and doesn't come through to the eye. So if you've worn a pair on water, that's where they're the most beneficial. You can see into the water and you don't see the glare on the water. It works in other circumstances as well, but primarily water is the most obvious choice. If you look sometimes at a reflection on a car hood or something, if you see a reflection and you're wearing polarized lenses and you tip your head, you can make that reflection go away or come back on. Now, because most...
just about out of time, by the way, Jim.
Okay. GPS any kind of computer monitors many times do not work with polarized lenses. You cannot see. You cannot see them. So you need to know that if you need to wear those glasses driving and you need to see your... dashboard.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Jim. It's great to hear your voice. It's been a little while, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Jim LaLuzerne, Our guest, man, inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame, he always does a great job. I like how he is able to explain clearly what is going on with our eyewear, and he does such a good job of it. So we're glad to have him, and he'll be back.